Friday morning. Stephanie Curtis, the movie maven here at Minnesota Public Radio, joins us. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
All right, so there's a new Spider-Man movie. We're going to talk about that.
There is. It's amazing. Spider-Man 2, for those of you who haven't been keeping up with it.
Now, for those
Tobey Maguire has been gone for a decade.
Right. This is what I was, the first thing that I was going to bring up is that when you are of advanced age, like mm-hmm. I am, you think, well, my goodness, didn't they just reboot this?
They did. It feels like, you know, Tobey Maguire was, you know, 2002, I think it started, and then there were three after that.
Yeah.
So it really wasn't that long before they decided to reboot it. But when you think about it, you know, if a kid is 5 when the first one comes out, and then 10 years later he's 15, he's the prime Spider-Man.
Yeah.
She's the prime Spider-Man age. And it's a big difference. So might as well. And you know what the thing is? They did a good job of it. So if they'd done a lousy job, I would be complaining more. But in fact, they put a lot into it. And Andrew Garfield is a really good Spider-Man, especially in this one. I really like him as the web slinger.
Do you prefer him over Tobey Maguire?
You know what? I really, really love the first two Tobey Maguire movies. Mm-hmm. I thought he was great. He was just a regular
loser.
He's a nerd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I loved him coming back and being beat up and hurt, and he was so emotional. But by the third one, they didn't know what to do, and when they had that dark, they had the dark Spider-Man, he's being taken over by darkness, and poor MJ, his girlfriend, was depressed because her acting career wasn't going well. That just left me thinking, you know, I can leave that franchise behind. Mm-hmm, I don't need mm-hmm. you sad sacks anymore. I was kind of over it. I was over it. Even though I really did love the first Spider-Man, and I really love Spider-Man 2, in fact, too. But they kind of tainted it for me. That Spider-Man 3 was so bad.
I really like
Andrew Garfield.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you liked the first reboot with Andrew Garfield?
Yeah, I thought they did a good job. But this one gets a little bit deeper. The first one where they're trying to set it all up, and I think I was at that point, I hadn't fully accepted they need to reboot it, so I was resistant.
Mm-hmm.
I've accepted it now.
Yeah.
And this movie spends a lot more time with him and Emma Stone playing his girlfriend Gwen, and his conflicted, I mean, she knows he's Spider-Man, and Peter Parker is Spider-Man. I don't want to give away too much, but Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
Sorry, you know,
and
it's
she knows that.
So that's knowledge.
It's common knowledge at this point. Come on, people.
It's them dealing with that and him dealing with the aftermath of what happened in the first movie where her father died and said, "Please don't do the same thing to Gwen and don't bring her into your world. I want her to live past being a teenager." And so he's conflicted by that. And they've got some good bad guys. It goes on a little bit too long. It's not the greatest superhero movie, but it's a really good little superhero movie. I really enjoyed it.
How does it look visually?
It is beautifully put together. I could not. Well, this time there are so many wonderful scenes set in New York with, I love that Spider-Man's in New York, going down those canyons of skyscrapers, and it is beautifully done. The special effects are great. But the director is this guy who directed a movie called 500 Days of Summer, so he came from the indie romantic comedy world. He's really good with the actors, and he's really great at bringing out a playful performance in Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone.
And I'm so glad
good
to hear
with
that.
With the actors, but then the special effects look astonishingly great. I just love it. And it felt like you were really in the city. Sometimes they'll say, "We're in the city," but it feels like you can tell it's on a sound stage.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like you're in the city. And this one feels like Spider-Man's, the place where he is doing his work, fighting crime, is the streets of New York City.
It's so good to hear about the character development, because in this age of, you know, Transformers and Battleship and, you know, movies like this that are all like CGI and then that's the end. There's no story you could possibly care about. There's no character you could possibly care about. That was one of the great things about the Tobey Maguire movies is that there was great character development. You cared about him. You cared about the Cliff Robertson character and whatnot. And now it's great to hear that there's real characters.
They come out of
too.
The comics. Tradition where you've got to be involved with the characters, and they're because it can't be just all the action scenes because it's on a piece of paper. It's got to be about the dialogue. It's got to be about the situation. It's got to be about the characters. And Marvel stays true to that in the movies and makes sure that it doesn't all get taken over by nonsensical action scenes.
Who's the villain in this one?
There are a couple villains. Paul Giamatti shows up as a villain.
Awesome.
Yeah, which is great. And then Jamie Foxx is not really a villain. He's a guy that crosses paths with Spider-Man. He's mentally unstable. he runs into, as sometimes we do, an electrical storm that turns him into gives him superpowers. And so he's a really complicated and interesting character in Jamie Foxx, and the special effects with Jamie Foxx's characters, because he's plays a man who's lit up, Electro, who's nice. Lit up by electricity, and it's beautifully done. So it's interesting that he isn't just a plain old bad guy.
Good to hear. Spider-Man 2 everywhere as we speak. Stephanie Curtis, thank you so much for coming in.
You're welcome.
Stephanie Curtis is the Movie Maven here at Minnesota Public Radio.